10,000 pounds. Let me put that in terms a pilot can feel. A fully loaded Cessna 172 Skyhawk grosses out around 2,300 pounds. A Beechcraft Bonanza, call it 3,400 at max gross. A Piper Navajo, maybe 4,800 with fuel and payload. Stack all three of those aircraft together on a scale, and you're still short of the payload the United States Navy is now asking its defense contractors to carry on an autonomous drone launched from a carrier deck. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS. That figure came out of a formal request the Navy sent to the defense industry this summer, asking companies to start proposing designs for a class of autonomous combat aircraft, carrier-capable, no pilot aboard, with strike payload capacity reaching up to 10,000 pounds. The request was reported by AeroTime, and the implications for anyone who cares about the future of aviation are worth slowing down and unpacking carefully. Because this is not a research program, and it is not a concept study. The Navy is asking industry what it can actually build. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSold.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. Before we get into what this request actually means, let's set some context, because the Navy has been circling this territory for a long time, and understanding where this fits in that timeline changes how you read the headline. The Navy's interest in carrier-based unmanned combat aircraft goes back at least to the early 2000s. The program that most people in the aviation world remember is the X-47B, built by Northrop Grumman. That was a tailless flying wing demonstrator, roughly the size of an F/A-18 Hornet. And in 2013, it made history by completing the first autonomous arrested carrier landing by an unmanned aircraft aboard the USS George H.W. Bush. That was a genuine milestone. The machine trapped on a moving carrier deck at sea without a human in the cockpit, using sensors and software to execute one of the most demanding approaches in all of aviation. But the X-47B was a demonstrator, not a production weapon. The Navy used it to prove the concept and then shelved the program. What followed was the MQ-25 Stingray, built by Boeing, which is now in low-rate initial production. The Stingray is an important aircraft, but it is not a strike platform. It's an aerial refueling tanker. Its job is to extend the range of carrier air wings by flying fuel out to manned fighters, not to carry weapons into contested airspace. That is a valuable mission, but it is a different mission, and the distinction matters. What the Navy is asking about now is something else entirely. They want an autonomous aircraft that can carry 10,000 pounds of ordnance, launch from a carrier, execute a strike mission in contested environments, and recover. That is not a refueling tanker. That is a weapons truck with legs, flying without a pilot, in harm's way. Here's what you need to know about what 10,000 pounds of payload actually means in operational terms. The F/A-18E and F Super Hornet, the backbone of current carrier strike groups, carries roughly 17,500 pounds of ordnance at its maximum. That number is the platform's theoretical maximum external load across all hardpoints, and in practice, mission loadouts are considerably lighter because you have to balance fuel, self-protection systems, and weapons. An actual strike loadout on a Super Hornet might be 6,000 to 8,000 pounds of weapons plus targeting pods and self-defense missiles. So the Navy is not asking for an autonomous aircraft that can outcarry a Super Hornet. They are asking for something that can carry roughly the same weapons load as a manned strike sortie, without the pilot, without the life support systems, without the ejection seat, without all the infrastructure that keeps a human being alive at altitude under high G maneuvering. Removing those systems does not just make the aircraft safer for the pilot who is not there. It potentially makes the aircraft smaller, lighter, cheaper to build, and capable of accepting G loads that would incapacitate a human crew. That last point is one that engineers have been talking about for years, and it deserves a moment. Current manned fighter aircraft are built around human physiological limits. The F-22 Raptor can pull 9G. That is near the ceiling of what a fit pilot wearing a G-suit can tolerate before blood drains from the brain and consciousness goes with it. Aircraft structures can be built to take far more than 9G. The airframe is not the limiting factor. The human is, remove the human, and you can theoretically build a combat aircraft that maneuvers in ways no manned fighter can follow. Whether that translates into tactical advantage depends on the mission, but for certain profiles, particularly in a beyond visual range or standoff strike role, an aircraft that does not need to protect a crew has real advantages over one that does. Now, the request the Navy published is what is called a request for information, which is worth explaining, because government procurement has its own vocabulary and understanding the document type changes how you interpret the news. A request for information is not a contract. It is not a request for proposals, which is the document that kicks off a formal competition. A request for information is the government telling industry, here is a capability we are thinking about. Tell us what you can do. Tell us what it would take. Help us understand what is possible so we can make smarter decisions about how to structure a real program. Companies respond with information, not binding bids. The government uses those responses to shape what a future competition might look like. What that means for this story is that the 10,000-pound carrier combat drone does not yet exist as a program of record. There is no contract, no winner, no aircraft on the drawing board with a production commitment behind it. What exists is a formal signal from the United States Navy that this is a capability they want to exist, and they are now in the process of figuring out how to get there. That signal matters, even without a contract attached to it, because defense programs move slowly from concept to hardware, and a request for information is often the first formal step in a process that ends years or decades later with an aircraft on a carrier deck. The X-47B program started with concept studies in the late 1990s before the demonstrator flew in 2011. The timeline from a request for information to an operational capability in a program of this complexity is typically measured in years, not months. So when you read the headline, the accurate interpretation is not that the Navy is about to field a fleet of 10,000-pound autonomous strike drones. The accurate interpretation is that the Navy has decided this is where they want to go, and they are starting the formal process of figuring out how to get there. Let's talk about what the technical challenges actually are, because this is the part of the story that tends to get glossed over in news coverage, and it is the part that a pilot understands instinctively. Carrier aviation is unforgiving. The deck of an aircraft carrier is one of the most demanding operating environments in the world. Catapult launches subject the aircraft to extraordinary acceleration loads. Arrested landings subject it to extreme deceleration loads. The deck is moving in three axes, heaving and pitching with the sea state. Wind over the deck varies, salt spray corrodes, the margin between a successful trap and a mishap is measured in feet and fractions of a second. The X-47B demonstrated that autonomous software can execute a trap. But the X-47B was a demonstrator operating in controlled conditions with an enormous support infrastructure, scaling that capability to a production aircraft that operates reliably across all sea states, all weather conditions, all threat environments, in the middle of a contested battle space is a substantially harder problem than a demonstration program proves. Add to that the operational concept challenges. An autonomous aircraft carrying 10,000 pounds of precision weapons needs to know, without ambiguity, what it is permitted to shoot. Military aviation has rules of engagement. Targets require identification. In some environments, a human in the decision loop is not optional. It is a legal and ethical requirement. The Department of Defense has published policy requiring that humans remain in the loop for lethal autonomous weapons decisions. How you satisfy that requirement when the platform is operating autonomously, potentially in a communications-denied environment where it cannot receive updated targeting instructions, is an open question that the engineers and lawyers and ethicists are all working on simultaneously. This is not a reason the program cannot proceed. It is a reason the program will be complicated. And it is worth understanding, because the gap between an autonomous aircraft that can land on a carrier and an autonomous aircraft that can execute a strike mission with appropriate human oversight and legal compliance is a gap that technology alone cannot close. There is also an interesting question about what this program does to the carrier air wing concept itself. The carrier air wing, as currently constituted, is built around the Super Hornet, with the F-35C beginning to take a larger share of the strike mission. Both are manned. The logic of the carrier air wing is that you have a powerful, flexible, networked force of aircraft capable of performing a wide range of missions controlled by trained naval aviators who can make real-time tactical decisions. Introduce a fleet of autonomous strike drones into that mix, and you have to think carefully about how they integrate. They are not a replacement for manned aviation in any near-term scenario. They are a complement. The question is what that complement looks like tactically. One model, which has been discussed in defense circles for several years, is what some call the loyal wingman concept. In that model, manned aircraft lead formations of unmanned wingmen. The pilot in the lead aircraft provides the decision-making and the human oversight. the unmanned platforms provide additional payload, additional range, additional sensor coverage, and they absorb attrition in high-threat environments without the catastrophic cost of a pilot lost. This concept has been tested in various forms by the Air Force's Collaborative Combat Aircraft Program and the Navy's own experiments. It is a plausible path toward integrating the capability the Navy is now requesting. Another model is more fully autonomous strike packages, operating with human oversight at the mission planning level, but executing the mission largely on their own. That is a harder capability to develop, harder to validate, and harder to make compliant with existing policy. But it is also the model that provides the greatest operational flexibility, particularly in scenarios where communications are jammed or degraded. The Navy has not said which model they favor. The request for information is, in part, asking industry to help them figure that out. Now, here is the angle that matters for the broader aviation community, including general aviation pilots who may wonder why a military strike drone program belongs on this show. The technologies being developed for programs like this do not stay in the military. They rarely do. Autonomous landing systems, precision navigation, sensor fusion, the ability of a software-defined aircraft to make flight decisions without a human in the loop. These capabilities have a trajectory that leads eventually into commercial and general aviation. The work being done right now on autonomous carrier landings is directly related to the work being done on urban air mobility, on autonomous cargo operations, on the kind of advanced avionics that will eventually find their way into the cockpits you and I fly. That is not a prediction unique to this program. It is a pattern that has repeated throughout aviation history. Autopilots, weather radar, GPS navigation, terrain avoidance systems, traffic alert systems, these technologies all have roots in military research and development. The MQ-25 Stingray's autonomous refueling work and the X-47B's autonomous landing work are feeding a body of knowledge that the entire industry draws from. So when the Navy asks for a 10,000-pound carrier combat drone, pay attention. Not because you're going to fly one, and not because the general aviation world is about to be flooded with autonomous strike aircraft. Pay attention because the problems they are solving now are versions of problems that will define the next generation of flight, manned and unmanned, military and civilian, across the board. There's also a simpler reason a pilot should care about this program, and that is the question of what it says about the future of military aviation as a career path. Naval aviation is one of the most demanding and prestigious flying careers in the world. Carrier aviation in particular requires skills that represent the absolute top of what human pilots can do. The men and women who fly from carrier decks are among the most capable aviators alive. The question of what it means for that community if autonomous aircraft absorb an increasing share of the strike mission is a genuine one. The honest answer, based on everything the Navy has said publicly, is that manned carrier aviation is not going away. The honest answer based on everything the Navy has said publicly is that manned carrier aviation is not going away. The F-35C program is in full production. The Next Generation Air Dominance program, the sixth generation fighter intended to eventually succeed the F-22 in Air Force service and likely have a naval counterpart, is still oriented around a manned aircraft. The most demanding missions, the ones that require split-second human judgment in dynamic threat environments, are expected to remain in human hands for the foreseeable future. But the calculus is shifting. It has been shifting for 20 years, and programs like this one are part of that shift. What the Navy is really saying with this request is that they want options. They want to know if they can have a capable autonomous strike platform that complements their manned force, that absorbs risk in high-threat scenarios, that extends what a carrier air wing can do without proportionally increasing the number of pilots and aircraft they need to put in harm's way. That is a sound operational logic. It is also a logic that, followed to its conclusion, gradually reduces the proportion of carrier aviation that requires a human in the cockpit. None of that happens quickly. Defense programs of this scale move on timescales measured in administrations, not news cycles, but the direction is clear, and the Navy publishing a request for information with a 10,000-pound payload requirement is a milestone on that road. The other number worth paying attention to in this story is the carrier compatibility requirement. Designing an aircraft to launch from and recover on a carrier is not a minor engineering constraint. It shapes the entire platform. The catapult launch requirement dictates structural loads. The arrested recovery requirement dictates landing gear design and deceleration tolerance. The hangar deck requirement dictates folded wing dimensions. The elevator and deck handling requirements constrain overall size. An autonomous aircraft that meets all of those requirements at 10,000 pounds of payload is not a small machine. Based on comparable manned carrier aircraft, you're likely looking at something in the range of 40,000 to 60,000 pounds of gross takeoff weight with a wingspan in the folded configuration that fits within carrier dimensions. That is a significant aircraft. Designing it to be stealthy, which you would assume is a requirement for a modern strike platform, adds additional complexity to the aerodynamic and materials engineering. The companies most likely to respond to this request are the major defense primes with carrier aviation experience. Northrop Grumman, given their X-47B work, is a natural candidate. Boeing, which builds the Super Hornet and is producing the MQ-25. General Atomics, which has been a dominant force in military unmanned aviation, with the MQ-1 Predator and MQ-9 Reaper lineage. Lockheed Martin, given their stealth aircraft history with the F-22 and F-35. All of them will be looking at this request carefully. What none of them can tell you yet is what the platform will cost. Defense procurement has a history of programs that begin with ambitious capability requirements and end with unit costs that strain even the largest acquisition budgets. The B-2 Spirit Bomber, a manned stealth aircraft, ended production at 21 airframes partly because each aircraft cost over $2 billion. The F-22 program was truncated at 187 aircraft against an original requirement for several hundred, again because unit costs escalated well beyond projections. The argument for autonomous platforms from a cost standpoint is that removing the human and all the systems required to support a human pilot could substantially reduce unit cost. That argument is plausible in theory, whether it holds in practice, once you add stealth coatings, autonomous systems, weapons integration, and carrier compatibility, is something the defense industry has not yet demonstrated at scale. This is where the request for information process serves a genuine purpose. Industry responses will give the Navy a realistic picture of what this capability actually costs before they commit to a program structure. That is useful information, even if the answers are more expensive than the original concept imagined. Here's the bottom line on this story. The United States Navy wants autonomous carrier-based strike aircraft capable of carrying up to 10,000 pounds of weapons. They have formally told the defense industry this and asked for proposals. This is the beginning of a long process, not an announcement of an imminent capability. The technical challenges, including autonomous decision-making in contested environments, human oversight compliance, carrier compatibility, and stealth integration are real and will take years to solve. But the direction is unambiguous. The Navy is building toward a future carrier air wing that includes significant unmanned strike capability alongside its manned aircraft. For everyone in aviation, the broader lesson is the same one it has always been. The technology moves faster than our expectations and slower than the headlines suggest. The aircraft that will be landing on carrier decks in 2035 are being designed in some form right now. And the software that will eventually help you navigate or land in low visibility or manage your avionics on a long cross-country is sharing a family tree with the systems being developed for this program. That is worth paying attention to. Sources for today's show include AeroTimes reporting on the Navy request and the Department of Defense's publicly available documentation on unmanned systems policy and the MQ-25 Stingray program. Additional context from open source analysis of carrier aviation programs. More at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower. Until next time, keep the blue side up.